Start us with a prayer.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we want to thank you for the blessings you give us, that you brought upon us as individuals, as a county, as a nation, God. And we just pray that you just be with us, just help us to understand the great permission you've given to us to share your gospel message. We pray, God, that you be with us today and in all the days of the work, that you just give us wisdom and help us to make decisions be pleasing to you and honoring to your kingdom. And we pray, God, that you would be with those that might need your helping hand, your healing hand, and maybe just your comforting hand, God, you be with them and just watch over them. Again, we thank you for the great place that you live, that you allow us to live in. And just thank you again for that. These things we ask for such things.
Amen. Mr. Strahan, could you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I'd like to call the Taney County Commission meeting to order 9:04 a.m. 2015, November 23rd, 2015. Any commission remarks?
Yes, I got something to say about we lost a individual in the community that was a great help to Taney County. Ronnie Melton served, I think, on 4 different boards. And so those boards, I think there was a request maybe a couple of weeks ago for members of the public to serve on boards. And I think Ronnie was chaired some of those boards, and we'll need to replace him on the park board and the P&Z. I think the extension office takes care of his replacement there. The other board that I'm trying to think of. But anyway, truly someone who dedicated his life to working with and for the county for the betterment of Taney County, and I just wanted to recognize that this morning.
Okay. Accounts payable.
Move to approve checks numbers 346273 through, I guess, 346343. One warrant of 6378 and one journal entry for paper usage.
Is the number too close together, Brandon?
There's no, Stacy.
It's that one check, and then that range of the next one.
Oh, excuse me. Amend my motion to say check number 346273, and then checks numbers 346292 through 346343, warrant 6378, and journal entry.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Approval of previous and executive session minutes.
Move to approve minutes dated October 26th, November 9th, and executive session minutes October 5A, October 5B, October 26th, November 9A and November 9B with corrections.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Assessor vehicle recommendations.
Thank you. Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Been to you once before, investigated purchase of a truck for assessors, field appraisers to go out. We need three vehicles, as I've shared before. I've touched base with our sheriff, who's had much experience purchasing it. He made a recommendation that I check with our local dealer, which I did that, and they gave us a bid. It's about $600 higher than the state bid. Looking for your go-ahead to get this ball rolling and answer questions if you got questions.
I think in the other meeting that we had, Chuck, I had told you that I would look at different options that we had on that, and I think that Brandon had brought up in that meeting that we might buy that out of GCR and lease it to the assessor's office, and I think that's probably the way that I would lean to look at that. I don't see, you say there's just $600 between the state bid and what you got at Trilex. I would, because of the convenience of maintenance and because of local dealership, and mainly you have to have a reason why you would want to go with the Trilex deal. Other than I would make a motion.
Well, if I might interrupt,
you know, we, Ron, do we have a?
We don't have a formal bid out for this purchase. This is when Mr. Pennell first came to y'all, and you instructed him to check with me to see what was available on the state bid. The state bid we can purchase off of via cooperative, via the cooperative statute. To purchase locally, that was a quote. That was a comparison, price comparison quote, which Chuck did an awesome job on getting that so we could know which is what. But to do locally, we would have to put out a formal bid process, which could take 30 to 60 days. And, of course, the luxury of any of these cooperatives by state legislature is when an entity needs something quicker than the formal bid process, or if they can save money, which in this case the county would be saving money. And I've investigated this, and I actually printed the contracts off for Chuck to make sure they were current, to make sure the vehicle he's looking for is available. And then he went the extra mile by checking with the local dealership to see what their price might be offering in a formal bid. I'm assuming that would be close to what they might offer, but by the time we would go the 30-day process that a formal bid requires normally for this type of purchase, they may have some price fluctuations too. So I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
no,
I just wanted to make
I'm
that
I'm glad you did because I didn't understand that.
Right, yeah, we didn't do a formal bid on this.
When we went out for bid on the vehicles, when we went out for bid on the vehicles before, did we have anything in there that says or more? Because we've done that in the past on other.
Right.
We weren't limited to just buying three. We
oh,
could
I see
buy four, five, or six.
How many vehicles?
Yes.
I don't think we did on that department. Okay. We certainly wouldn't have anything that would cover the assessor's department. But
GCR is buying it, though, not the assessor.
The last formal bid that we did for vehicles was with the sheriff, and I think that was specific for what he needed at that moment. So that's a good question. But if either one of those bids would have covered this purchase, that would have been the first step I would have explored versus the state process. So, but he needed this quicker than
the I say. Do you need it quicker than the Chuck? Can we buy it? Can you wait the 30 or 60 days, or do you need the vehicle now?
They're still going to service it locally. I mean, that's a requirement. But.
What we need vehicle? You asked me that question a month ago or whatever it's been now. Same answer. We've got three teams that need to be going out, and we don't have any of them go out yet.
Danny, you just want to buy one off state bid?
Yes, I think I would. The quote, I'm glad you straightened that out, Ron, before I got into hot water here, because.
I was going to make sure you didn't do it.
And I was going to start this process, but as soon as we sat down, Chuck started off.
Well, I didn't understand. I thought that we probably already went through that process.
Yeah, I was going to set the stage, but I didn't get that chance quick. So.
You had a number there of 20 some thousand, right? 26 or?
Exactly. Yeah, probably around 26,000.
On the state bid?
State bid, yeah.
They have a vehicle that'll fit your needs on the state bid?
Oh, yeah. You bet. Yeah. Half ton pickup.
Yeah, we've used this before with the animal control and with the coroner. Worked real well. And maintenance and everything ongoing locally with them.
They use the state bid on those purchases. Yep. Brandon, there's a statute that allows us to do this to that you quoted the other day.
Well, I always need to purchase the vehicle, then we can turn around and lease it.
Yeah, just go ahead and make the motion the way you want to.
Approve the purchase of the, what truck is it specifically, Ron? Is there a bid number, is there a state bid number on the?
The contract number on that one, C115052002.
Can I see it?
Which covers four on the state contract.
May I ask what, when you say lease it to the assessor's office, what fee are y'all going to charge the, thinking of charging the assessor's office?
Whatever the statutes allow us to do. Right now, I don't think you have enough money to buy a vehicle.
Yeah, we do in the...
Move to approve contract number C115052002 for the purchase of a light-duty truck through GCR.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Do we have this truck, or do you need it?
I don't need it.
Thank you.
Assessment Maintenance Plan Agreement.
Did you all receive the maintenance plan I brought up to the office? Okay.
I read through it this morning about 6:30. I didn't know. Did you need? Do you mail this to them and then have us approve it later? Or how's that work, Jeff? Because I thought we approved it and then you sent it to them.
I believe you all need to approve it first and sign it, and we send it to them, and they sign it, send us back.
There's a process that takes place there, and I.
Yeah.
The way that I read this morning, you've already sent it to the notes and everything that you had in it to Jan Elliott and
the State Tax Commission.
State Tax
has
Commission
a copy of it, yes, sir. Yeah. And it's, as you understand, I know it's just my word formality, and it's the same plan as last year's with some different numbers plugged in, and they look at the numbers, and sometimes they correct them and send them back. Nothing new about it, to my understanding.
Have you two gentlemen read the entire plan? I read it this morning, but I want to make sure that we get, before we approve it, that...
Don't we normally do it later in the budget process? Isn't this usually approved a little bit later?
No. I think that it's brought to us in the month of, usually around the month of November, but I think we've approved this the first week of December before.
Do you know, Joe?
No, I don't remember. It's, I think we're in the right time.
Right,
I'm right.
Right.
You're right.
You two gentlemen need to read through.
And the current one that we have, is that not a 2-year agreement? Does that include Was that last year and this, or is that this year and next?
It's dated 2015, 2016. It's a two-year agreement.
Okay.
But each budget year changes right. it a little bit, and they have to go through that process.
A letter in here from Frank Cotty, too.
Okay. No, I haven't read the whole thing.
You want to?
Yeah, I'm not prepared to do anything with it today.
I have one question on it. It says in this one of the letters that you had, and I don't know whether it's just a notation to the plan or what, that you don't think you can get to all the properties by 2017.
I hope to, yes. But there's a possibility that we won't.
Well, the thing that was a little bit of interest to me was the fact that it said that you wouldn't be able to get to all the properties by 2017, but you were going to go ahead and raise, put them all on at 225.
Let me look at that letter, Danny. I don't
okay.
know that.
It's kind of just a little bit confusing on that. That's the reason I wanted the other two commissioners to read it.
You don't remember about where that is, do you?
Yeah, it's back where you've got your notes to Jan Elliott. But I'm just like, would be like Brandon said there, I want both of those gentlemen to read that and feel comfortable with it. So before we would take a motion on it, and I don't think we need to do that before the first week in December is the way I think we've always done that before.
Okay, here's what I believe you're speaking to. We scheduled final review. My plans are to continue with a complete walk around. This time I'm not sure if we'll be able to complete the walk around review by 2017, but that is our goal. I do feel sure we will have the bulk of the county done by 2017. So I'm not sure what them say what you're talking about there. But if we don't get around, my thought is that we won't add the new index until we get around it.
Yeah, go ahead and look back. That's the only thing that was confusing to me, and you guys can straighten it. You can read it and straighten it out, but I do want it to be.
Okay, here's item six. Index study, I'm considering the need to adjust the index until that is cleaned up. The 225 will be added to the rest of the parcels as they are reviewed, and we will look further after doing that. That's probably what you read. But that does not address the ones if we shouldn't get around all the parcels. My thought is that we wouldn't add the index until we physically got around to it, because they've already got the 5% increase, as you know.
That's fine. I just want those two gentlemen to read it, feel comfortable with it when we vote on it. And then, like you said, it's not much different other than the letters that you wrote to
right.
Jan Elliott.
Any other questions?
Good. Thank you, Jeff.
MoDOT monthly update.
Good morning.
Opposite side of the room. I don't know if I can handle this enough. You're a long ways away, Commissioner Strahan.
Yeah, I know. It's that way. I may not have any questions this morning, the way I'm sitting so far away from you.
What do you think, Commissioner Williams?
I'm playing out of that one. Is there any weeds that's growing up that we can take care of on those fence lines?
It's wind.
You know, we can get some chemicals.
As a landowner, this is a good time of the year to spray. I know that. So, got a few items. First of all, we have a new director. We did a nationwide search, and I believe we did a news release here a couple weeks ago, but his name is Patrick McKenna. He's currently with the Transportation Commission in New Hampshire, and I believe one of the main reasons he was chosen is because they have done work here recently to bring new funding into their transportation system, and I believe the commission, when they were looking over the candidates, I would say that would be a major, major reason that he was probably chosen. And he's also served with the Secretary of the Senate with the U.S. Senate, so he has political experience on the nationwide level, too. And I think that's really a lot of what we were looking for is to try to get some movement on the financial side, realizing that, that all of that has to go through, obviously, the U.S. We're needing more money on the federal side and on the state side. So he'll be joining us. His first day is December 7th. We are actually hosting the commission meeting, highway commission meeting, which I believe is December. It's when the first Wednesday of the month. I think it's December 3rd, December 2nd. So he won't actually be at that meeting because his he doesn't start until the 7th, but we are looking forward to working with him. When he starts making his rounds and is in our area, I will let you guys know. We'll probably try to host some type of meet and greet. So, but we're excited. So that's over and done. So we're looking forward to that direction because we've been without a permanent director since, I believe, April. So that's good to know. On the construction side, we do have some work that was added to our schedule as a result of the additional taxes that we brought in over the last fiscal year, 2015 fiscal year, due to increased gas sales and due to increased car sales above and beyond what we had projected. So those funds will be rolled into the 2017 budget, which is the budget where we were coming up short of the matching funds, and so we weren't going to get our federal funds. It impacts this area. I know we are planning to do 76, a asphalt overlay, in 2017 from basically Forsyth to Branson. It's a stretch that I had hoped to get done a few years ago after we'd done the chip seal, and then we just came up against the funding wall. So we'll be doing that. I know they're also looking into adding the 2-foot shoulders with the rumbles. They're trying to, we're trying to still keep an emphasis on safety. And so where we can, we're trying to fit those in. We'll have to audit the area and see, because sometimes you just don't have room for those 2-foot shoulders without creating a really bad edge drop or one thing or another, because we do that with all within the right of way. So, we don't require any new right of way for those shoulders. So that's coming up. I know we're also looking at 248. I'm not sure the extents of that project yet. They've just started looking at it, but I think it will probably be in the Branson area, but I'm just not sure how far the extents will reach on that, but that will also be a 2017 overlay of some sort. The existing program that we're working with, obviously we're moving forward with the bridge on 76 here at Forsyth. That is also scheduled for 2017. It will bid in the fall of 2016. So that work will obviously be coordinated with the asphalt overlay since they'll be in the same year. Beyond that, I think that's pretty well all of the work that's scheduled for the near future in our area. We have, trying to think what else. We have, the usual maintenance activities going on right now, ditch cleanouts, pipe replacements, edge rut treatments, trying to get rid of the edge ruts along the highway, and then obviously we're geared up for the four-lettered word snow, so hopefully we'll put that off for a while. But we did our dry run through here a couple weeks ago to make sure all the equipment was up and running and everybody knew that knew their snow routes because sometimes those get changed. So we did that dry run through a couple weeks ago. On the legislative side, I'm hearing a mixed bag of feedback on whether there will or won't be any movement in the Missouri House and Senate this year as far as funding for roads. I know that we've already had one, I believe it's a representative sponsor, a 2-cent gas tax proposal. I haven't heard beyond that. So who knows if it will get legs or where it will go this year. On the federal side, they are negotiating out. The Senate had passed a 6-year bill. The House is working on a 6-year bill. They're trying to, I think, negotiate where that's going to meet in the middle. It would be great to have the stability for 6 years because we haven't had that in quite some time. And that's what makes it, makes it where you can make decisions on a broader scale. When we only have funding for 6 months to a year and you're trying to plan large projects, that's just almost impossible. So it would be nice to have the stability. Unfortunately, the numbers I've been hearing, it sounds like we're pretty well staying at flat at the same numbers that we've been for years and years and years. And obviously, construction costs don't stay flat. They've been going up since the 90s. So obviously, those dollars won't stretch as far, so that means less projects actually completed. So I would like to see them look at a higher number, but if we get some stability, that would be great. So I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth there. Trying to think. Some of the partnering projects that we've got going, as far as working with local entities, we've been cooperating with the city of Branson on both the downtown project, because it touches 76, and also the Spirit of 76 project, which is the project from Shepherd of the Hills all the way to the 65 interchange. We have no funding involved in either one of those projects, except for we do have a small pot of funds that will go into the Spirit of 76 project for pedestrian improvements. We already had that money set aside before they approached us with the project. Beyond that, we really haven't been able to offer up any additional funding. Both those projects are moving forward. I believe the downtown project is in phase one, and I think they have about five phases planned. The Spirit of 76 project, they will start working on utilities ahead of the main construction. I expect that to happen this spring, and if things go well with the utility relocations, then I would expect them to start on phase one sometime, probably either late summer or fall, for the actual pedestrian and signal improvements and roadway improvements for the project. So that's kind of what's going on in MoDOT's world. You guys got any questions or concerns?
I've got a couple of things. Do we have a salt contract with you in our road barns? Is that
a continuing agreement?
Does that change, or do we need to refresh that? I think that's maybe something that we need to talk about with Randy, or you might check on.
Okay, I will. I'll get with Randy and I'll check and make sure that
We need to make sure that we have some sort of contract in place that if it has a continuation, that it states it that way. And then the other thing is where we have our Mount Branson road barn there. On the right-hand side of the road, if you're coming this way from Branson, there needs to be a guardrail there. I actually come through there one foggy morning here about a week ago, and there was a deer run out in front of me, and I couldn't get it stopped till I hit him. But if I'd have tried to miss him, I would have been, and there's three cars sitting right, you know where the wall is and where I'm talking about. It's about where those Academy apartments or something like that is on the right hand side. I mean, it's just about 4 or 5 feet until you're dropping right off into 10 or 12 feet into vehicles sitting on there. So I'd like to, for safety reasons, I'd like to look at that. Okay. If you can,
I'll tell you what, I will talk to the team that's working on the overlay and see if they're looking at additional safety features.
Okay.
Because I'll be honest, you know, I get requests for guardrail
right
every week.
I understand that.
And what we've been doing in the past, and I get, you know, mixed feedback on this, but what we've been doing in the past is if we have an accident history that looks like it warrants the guardrail, then, you know, that's what we look at. But if we don't have an accident history, we've got to, you know, I've got to have some type of criteria to justify the limited funds that we have going in any direction. So, you know, the feedback I get was, well, does somebody have to get hurt before I get guardrail? Well, unfortunately, I do have other locations where people have been hurt that we don't have the money to address. So that, you know, we end up with a ranking system that involves accidents, and that's not where we want to be at, but that's where we're at. But I will check, because a lot of times when we're doing the overlays, we also look at safety features and see if there's anything we can do while the contractor's out there.
Yeah, it's much needed guardrail right there, because it's just a drop off, and if you can check on that, I sure would appreciate it.
I will.
When your trucks and our trucks come out of there in the wintertime with the snow and ice on, It's pretty well straight across the road. Slide right straight over. So, appreciate it. I just had those two things that I could remember.
And I will tell you, safety related on that, I am responding to a letter that was sent to Representative Rowland regarding our policy on striping roads, because anything that has less than, any road that has less than an annual average daily traffic count of 400, we do not put edge stripes on. And I have a very eloquent letter, very, very well thought out, very eloquent letter from a constituent in the area arguing that point. And so I'm working on putting some information together. But what it comes down to is we try to stick to a rule. I think the constituent referred to it as, I don't want to hear policy, but policy is what saves us money whenever we have 34,000 miles of roadway. If it's just a few miles, then, you know, that's one thing. But when you've got to apply it to 34,000 miles, each decision we make, even if it seems small, when you take it and multiply it by the size of our system, can make a significant significant difference cost-wise. So,
can you? That, you're talking about our lettered roads, then?
Anything under 400, so it could be numbered or lettered, depending on the volume of traffic. This particular location is 125 down in Pro Tem.
Right, and could you do this for us and our county? Is when you get those traffic numbers, send them to us, because you're going to have the numbers before you can make the decision.
Mm-hmm. And I already have the numbers.
So okay, daily count.
We go on average annual, so there's some correction factors that we use based on time of year that we take the counts and time of day that we take the counts. There's
just get with Randy. Give Randy that information so that he can present it to the commission. We can look at it.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, because the numbers drop off significantly once you get farther south.
Yeah.
So the farther north you go on 125, the more volume of traffic you pick up. So. Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Nope.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
You do the same.
Court orders.
Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I got several court orders for you today. I want to start with personal property, paid abatements. Two of these are decreases and one is an increase. The abatement numbers are 300,082
through 300,084.
And
do you have all of this?
This 82 is for 2014. States on here that the person that paid the bill for the same vehicle in 2014 on a separate account. That's the reason why this one's a free fund.
Now, when you say that, you mean through an escrow account or something like that, that they it was already taken out and they didn't know it, so they paid it? Is that what happens, Chuck? Do you know?
This has an account number. The people had two accounts for some reason.
Time to time, there'll be two accounts set up on the same person with the same vehicle on it. I'm saying that's what's happened here.
Oh.
We can have two different account numbers for the same person and the same vehicle. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, that's what I read from that.
They send in the form, and somehow they got a separate account.
I'm trying to learn how to...
The $300,083. They paid on the wrong vehicle in 2014. It showed a 2009 Honda where it should have been a 2007 Honda. And the assessor's office working to correct that. The way that happens is a 9 and a 7, when they hide in their numbers, very easily to mistake the two numbers.
You got three of those. What's the next one?
And the next one is a $300,084, and it is a personal property increase. And they went from a 94 Ford pickup to a 2001 Chevrolet Cavalier. The 2001 is worth more money. That's the reason why the bill went up.
That brings up a question that's been asked by the public. When it gets past the 10-year factor, you have a number on there like that 94 and the 1. Are they the same number that you use for evaluation, or do you know?
We've got a 10-year figure and a 15-year figure. 10-year figure is $200.
Okay.
When they get to be 10 years old, what we've done for years, the value drops to $200,000.
Yeah.
And then at 15, it drops to $100.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, people's asking me this question all the time, so I'm glad I got that from you. You want to make that Exhibit A?
Yep. Move to approve Exhibit A, dated 11/23/15.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Next one I have is real estate, and it's for occupancy. And it's 202-104 is the abatement number.
Okay.
And it's a... There's a new structure that was placed on the property.
And they just moved in, so they get taxed from the time, percentage time?
Yep.
Okay. And did you just got that one?
Just the one for occupancy.
Exhibit B. Move to approve Exhibit B at today's date.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries.
That went to sleep on you over there. You got two eyes and looked over here at me before I eyed you.
Could have voted against it just for fun, then.
The next ones I have are clerical errors, and they're 2002-110 and 2002-132 are abatement numbers.
They're real property?
Real property.
I've got one question for you on that. This morning, I seen a couple of those that I thought were repetitive that we'd already done.
This is a different...
Different properties?
I don't know.
I know...
You have one. Let me look at this. Sheila, what's the name of that one that we got?
It's in Grass Hill Subdivision. You did it on 13 and 14. And it is agreed limited partnership.
89-29-001.023
is your parcel number.
Those are going to be double assessed.
Is that what you're talking about? This we approved the 13 and 14 to refund abatement, and we need to go back and deny that and take it to 15. The reason is it's in a TIF district, and a refund abatement, we will not have the money in a TIF district, and Branson doesn't have the money. Once we collect the money, that's 13 and 14. So what the statute then allows is to take it off of the next year, the unpaid amount.
That's the one you sent the email on this morning. You sent it some other time. I read it this morning.
And so the 15 abatement he has, if that's what you're speaking of, it's taking that value, the amount of the 13 and 14 that would be a refund, it's giving him credit. Yeah,
they're talking about double assessment,
and then
right?
Yeah. A couple of thousand for the 16.
We can move to the double assessments.
Hey, Wesley, stick with the one you're on.
Okay.
That way we don't get out of here. Well, I thought it was on that
sheet. Right, yeah, no. I was like, this one is the they combined a piece of property, and then the other one they sent in, the condominium is not part of nightly rental, so the value doesn't change, but the usage changed.
Okay, yeah, I read that. So
that's, I think, just what you're talking about is in just two.
Yeah, I'm talking about.
And you're talking about.
Even that one, I think, is done before. You'll have to look at the others. Whenever you get around to the next one, I'll look at them there, because I looked at a couple. And thanks for bringing that up, Sheila, on that, because I'd...
Move to approve Exhibit C with today's date.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries.
Now we move into the double assessed properties. We got three of those. Abatement numbers are 202.73, 202.123, and 202.124. The 073 is the one that y'all was just talking about with the no monies for the 2013 and 2014 refund.
Oh. Now, I don't quite understand everything about that, but is it complicated?
It's just typically an entity, when you do a refund abatement, it comes back from the entity that was paid that money. Mm-hmm. And in this particular one, it's the TIF district, Branson Hills TIF district.
Yeah. Are you talking about, this is the Walmart and Branson shops?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And when I pay that money to the TIF district, to the city of Branson, they immediately take that money and pay the bonds.
Uh-huh.
So there is no money, and we have no delinquent taxes in those districts for it to come from to collect any. So we have to go under this statute that and take this 13 and 14 that was approved as refund abatements. And just for the records and show that we're denying 13 and 14, I cannot adjust the book on that. It would put us in the negatives. And we take it out of the current year, the 15, so they will not pay the 15 tax bill. And the city's aware of that. They, it's a refund of credit against the taxpayer's liability in the following year and subsequent consecutive years until the taxpayer has received credit in full for the real or personal property tax mistakenly or wrongfully levied against the taxpayer. And that's what we're doing. Instead of giving them a refund on it, because we don't, there's no money.
You're giving them future.
Yeah, it comes off of the assessed value of the same parcel.
Visited with probably the state as well and other assessors, and that's good practice, common practice.
That's the way they go with the common practice on it. And it's one of, how many have you got with double assessed? Because it's not the only one in there.
There was a total of three of them that was double assessed.
The other ones are something different, though, right?
Yes.
Do you want to do them separate?
They're all
or
double.
Or can you track them all the same way? Brandon, I'm asking you there. Do you want to do them separate? I'm
trying to find. Now, the other ones are the same. That's the Walmart out. Oh, the other two are okay. Double assessed per Jim Kyle. Number 202.123 and 202.124.
And that's the Walmart outlet, though.
That's the Northwest Electric Power Company.
Oh, okay. 123 abatement number. So I'm looking at, you're looking at the legal number, aren't you?
I was looking at the abatement number 202.123 and 202.124. It says double assessed per Jim Kyle.
This would be a railroad utility, right?
Assume it's electric company. 25-0000013.
25 number.
And 25-0000011.
It'll be in the real estate book. It'll be a, this particular round is a
assessed as in the regular real estate book, that 25 number is.
That's the reason I asked if you wanted to do it separate, is because we got a railroad utility and the other one's not. I didn't know whether you wanted to do it separate or not.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me any difference. I didn't understand that completely. I read your email from it, but whenever I was reading them, I had them separated out there. So
this is a different one. This is for the current year, 2015, and they've not paid it yet. And Jim Kyle is saying that they double assessed them on it, so they're just correcting the bill before they paid it. And it's in the regular, it's a regular parcel number.
Here's the deal, Brandon. The other one is a refund for two previous years. Let's separate it out as a different exhibit and then do the other two. I'm willing to do that, I mean. But at least you keep track of it. You don't have...
Her email doesn't talk about everything that's on this. Her email's talking about just the top one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other two are also double assessed.
Right.
But I guess what you're saying is the agreement, the Walmart one, is not technically double assessed?
It's a refund for two previous years.
Right.
So that's the reason I don't want to keep it separate.
It doesn't matter to me. I can mark it.
What I was thinking was that you could probably keep track of it better, couldn't you? I mean, if you had to come up with that, you wouldn't look in all the double assessed.
It's going to be a parcel number, so.
In my system, it's going to still say double assessed. I cannot change what it says.
Okay.
Because that's what it came up to in when they pushed an abatement through.
Okay. The two previous years. Why don't we just do it separate that way? I feel better about it anyway.
So abatement number 202-73.
202-073, we'll call that exhibit, probably a D.
I think it's D.
Yes. You're making it hard on us, Danny, but we'll do it for you.
I just thought it'd be easier for me to cause some trouble.
You ever going to look at this again? Move to approve exhibit D, dated 11-23-2015. Which includes abatement number 202073.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Now the other ones are the power company, and they're saying they're double assessed per Jim Kyle. I guess he would know. Chuck, and for the record, can you tell us who Jim Kyle is?
State Tax Commission local rep.
He's qualified to state what is assessed and what's not.
Correct.
What's double assessed and what's not double assessed.
He's a part of those assessments.
Move to approve Exhibit E with today's date, which includes parcels number 202123 and 202124.
You mean abatement numbers?
Excuse me. Abatement numbers 202123 and abatement number 202124. Thank you, Wesley.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay, next ones are the erroneous assessments. They start out at 202, 103, 105 through 138.
Okay.
So, multiple reasons on these. And let's see here, we can start with the first one, which will be, I got them in order here. Taxpayer didn't receive his condo letter, so this one here is a condo that they have taken off the commercial value since they've now received their condo letter.
Hey, I've seen several of those in there that had condo letter. Didn't receive it. I don't know how to ask this without saying, what's the problem? How come they're not receiving that letter?
Those that didn't receive it probably more likely have two addresses, and
The condo is a second place, and they didn't get it in the mail. To my knowledge, the mail worked good. I mean, all the assessment for the condo letters went out.
Right.
But because they're living two different places, they didn't get it.
But they got the tax bill?
Evidently.
Goes the same address?
Just trying to answer the question.
Online, the tax bill, one customer called, and they're overseas on a mission trip, and they access their tax bill online, and they called to see on this one why it was so high. It went up a lot from the year before.
Tell me because
of it. It was commercial property this year, but it was residential last year.
Yeah. Well, I'm just asking a question because we had, I don't know, there's probably 10 of those or maybe more.
There's a number of condos because when they got their tax bill, the bill was much higher because they didn't send it in. It's all on as commercial. Raises the rate way up. And they either in the mail or whatever reason, I can't, you know, I don't know exactly, but I think some of them will be because they've got two locations.
Does it not go, do you guys not go off previous year's letter, or you just put it all at 100% commercial?
We, every other year, we send out a condo letter. And this year's letter went out, and it said, how many nights did you rent it in 13 and 14? And they send that back in there. We add the two numbers,
right.
Divide it in half. So we send it every other year.
But if they don't send it back, do you leave it where it was, or you just automatically send it up to 100%?
We don't know how many nights, so we put it on as commercial. Again, that's what we've done in the past.
So you just jump it up. I'm just asking how you do it. So you just jump up to 100%, even though previously it might have been 20% right. Commercial.
Yep.
Okay. You automatically just jump up to 100% commercial. So that's why the big increases.
Exactly.
My only fear with that would be was a lot of the districts and different things already set their values based on the old numbers, right?
You can come up with a better idea. I searched it out when I first got here. I didn't find a better way to do it.
It does make the taxpayer pay attention if they get a giant increase. And then they might finally respond even though they didn't chose not to respond to the letter.
Then how do we, because I remember asking this during BOE, there's a way to go back and check how many nights they actually rented out? Or are we just taking their word for it?
No, they have
the word for it. There's,
if you'll remember, there was,
I was thinking
people came in and they had the dates actually rented for commercial use and the dates, and we had to make an adjustment on two different properties that had those individuals, each one of them.
Yeah, I was thinking they showed some sort of proof that
yeah, they showed proof that they had it, and we had to go in and make an adjustment on it in BOE.
Right. If you're asking if there's any way that we can tell it, there's not. We have to take their word for it, and they can show proof normally.
I don't see any problem. The reason I said that, I don't see any problem with you having to go through each one of them and tell us that they didn't receive their letter.
Right.
Because you've got numerous ones here that are that way. Let's see here. Is that all the ones on that one? Okay. I thought for sure we'd already done this one and this one right here. But I can ask that question and see. Would there be a chance... that these abatements, some of them have already went through or they were missed. I'm going to use an example. One of them was, I hate to call their name out there. One of them was a resident that I know has previously come before us in abatements this year. And then the other one is Kennecott.
Okay. The previous ones were probably for last year's taxes. This here is for the 2015 tax year. And previous was probably 2014.
Okay.
That's best explanation I can give you on some of those.
Gentlemen, if I hate to ask, but I need to ask if you could excuse me. I've got a 10 o'clock State Tax Commission hearing in the clerk's office. And if there's questions that...
He can answer them, can he? Or?
Yeah. If I could also, we've got a number of abatements coming up probably Monday for the Empire Electric property that we've talked about some. Those abatements for this year are coming up, and
and there may be others that you're aware of that come up at the end of the year, so just wanted to put that on the table.
Yeah, I would say that you need to make that, but I was going to ask about the, if the Canicut ones were 2014, they would have been a refund, wouldn't it?
No, here, Danny, they have a letter saying that became the owner of these on December 2014.
Okay.
So Canicut took ownership 2014 in December.
They were owned by them, but in a different company name. And it came over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
We need F. Move to approve Exhibit F with today's date.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. That's all of the court orders I have today.
I'm showing abatement numbers 202139 through 202153 and a paid abatement of 300087.
Was this sent up last Friday?
It was sent up on Friday.
Okay. I was not aware that we was going to be able to see those. I was told we wasn't. So I did not bring those in with me. I can run and get them real quick, though.
We're here. We're ready.
Let's see which ones they were. Oh, but they didn't.
Oh, hey, and a 202154. Clerical error.
Which ones do you want to see first?
Whatever you got there on top.
Okay, first one I've got is the paid personal property paid abatements.
Is that 300087?
It is.
Okay.
It was a clerical error on the personal property. The person did not own the 2007 Chrysler as of the 1/1/2015.
Exhibit G. Move to approve Exhibit G with today's date.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Okay.
Do the little one first.
Okay. The next one is a clerical error. And that's 202154. Mobile home and utility should have been removed from during the reassessment year 2015.
Is the mobile home no longer there?
From what I understand, yes. The total difference between...
It's $340.
$340, yes.
How do you change the agricultural value by moving a mobile home?
It was also a utility building there.
Oh, two sheds?
Yes.
Move to approve Exhibit H with today's date.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
The next ones are erroneous assessments. Abatement numbers 202-139 through 202-153. Majorities of these are all condo letter erroneous assessments.
Danny, one of them is showing that they had a basement and they don't have a basement. One of them is mobile home had been removed prior to the purchase, so the mobile home wasn't there.
Brandon, the only problem I have with those is I know there's some of those names on there that says they didn't receive a condo letter are local individuals that haven't been overseas or haven't went anywhere. One of them is my neighbor. So that, I mean, I don't understand the way that goes out. If they get their tax bill and they don't get the letter, I don't understand the whole.
Maybe just didn't fill it out. And
process.
Oh, darn, I'm going to have to pay high taxes. I better fill that out.
Yeah. But
the tax bill out there is going to link the notice and the call and tell us they didn't get the tax bill and not going to pay because the neighbor's supposed to
pay. Right, I understand that part of it.
The
but
same address. Just make a statement on that.
Well, I'm not seeing anybody that's, like this one's out of Florida. Okay, now that might be. That's saying that it didn't get.
What number is it?
149. But it's showing that they that it wasn't processed until a later date. So maybe they sent the letter and just didn't process it.
I don't know. I mean, that part of it's confusing to me. And whenever I see other individual names that are local names that I.
Right.
That I know, I don't understand how that works, but I know what you're saying. If they get their tax bill and it's out of whack, then they look for reasons not to pay. But I guess that's a good excuse, maybe. See any others you had a problem with, Brandon?
Yeah, there's one I'm looking at.
What's the number?
I'll look at it. Hold on. No explanation over here on your notes.
Okay.
For the Sweet Life LLC. There was no.
Is that the church?
I don't know. Sweet Life LLC. It's, it says the taxpayer did, on this paper, taxpayer didn't receive condo letter, changed from all to partial commercial. I guess whoever owns Sweet Life LLC is going to move in there or something. There's got to be a way to test these to make sure that they're not.
Do you want to put that down as what? How far down are we at on the list? F?
I. Thank you. Sorry, I'm looking something up real quick. It's Exhibit I. Move to approve Exhibit I with today's date.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. That's all I have for today.
Oh. Could I ask that you bring those, we get those copies, that we get them in a big group with them plant in different personal, real occupancy. Could we get them in a folder? Could we all get them in a folder so we could?
I sent them to you in an email, and Shanna gives them to y'all. I don't know how she gives
you,
them to you.
Do you print them off, or did Shanna print them off?
Shanna prints them off for y'all.
Okay. Okay. It's just handier when we're all up here trying to look at one. It's a lot easier for us to have all of them, if you don't care to.
If that's what you want us to do, we can just deliver the packets to your office and organize them for you.
We'd like to have them organized and in pamphlets where when we come in here, we're not all having to get up and go look and this and that. And we may have a check mark with something on there, and they're looking at it, and they think, well, what's he got a check mark on, or he's got a mark here or that they don't understand. So all three commissioners are well informed of what we're trying to do, and maybe it doesn't take as long.
That'd be my fault. I told her not to. I thought you all had them on email, and I told her she didn't have to copy all of them.
We do. We've got them on email. I thought they were coming from his office up to us in that form.
No, we email them. We're trying to save paper, but if you ask us to present it to
and Mike, I understand what you're saying. I would just like to have it so that we don't have
absolutely
to get up and move three of us trying to look at the same printout.
Okay.
You know, I'm just trying to move the process along a little bit.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Okay with that, Brandon? You okay with that?
That's fine.
Yep.
Yep.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Transfer station discussion.
Well, they're coming up. Can I just make a comment for the media? You guys may have discussed it already. If you have the owner agenda, it shows the courthouse is closed for Thanksgiving, Thursday, and Friday. And I'm just hoping that if both papers are here that they would note that, because the way the phone system is, we still get calls like on Friday, and the message that comes out is all clerks are busy, please try again. And there's no way I can put a message on there saying we're closed. So I know it won't help people don't read the paper, but if they would, we're closed Thursday and Friday.
Could you get that on the radio too if you don't care to?
We've had people complain about us being closed to some of the trash companies.
Ah, yeah.
And they've acted like, in the past, we've never done it, but then last year we did do it.
We haven't really been consistent from year to year.
Some years we were open on Saturday because of being closed 2 days, and it throws some of the haulers behind. They have to go other places that are open. So,
the way I understand it, that the reason we did that last year was the first time that we had closed in 2012. We were open on Saturday. In 2013, we were open on Saturday. 2014, we closed all the way through. And I think that's where he's talking about the inconsistency. The only thing that they can do on that Saturday is load the trucks because their landfill is not open that Saturday, the way I understand it.
Right. We normally don't haul off on.
Right. We won't be able to haul that.
But we can load. We can have everything empty to where we can load if.
Yeah.
And, is that going to mess any plans up? Because we've already told the employees with Karen, and I'm assuming it's Stottle, and who would have to work?
Well, we just need some guy there to load the trucks and one to run the scale house, generally who we have there. There's usually two people.
And will we do just a short window and let the haulers know, hey, yeah, you can dump, but we're not going to be open from
Well, generally we're open half day on Saturday anyway, was it 8 so they know the normal hours, and if they can get there and dump, why.
So they would draw holiday pay, which would be double time for whoever the two or three is, and I think we have money budgeted.
See, well, they would the get thing paid of it is, for the Thursday and Friday that were closed anyway.
Right.
This would be a normal.
Right. But it's the Saturday that causes the overtime.
It's the Saturday that they would have to come in. So.
Are you all right? What do you want to do?
I want to make sure it's okay with the employees.
Yeah.
Do you think there's going to be a problem? Or?
I don't think so. I mean, we've worked the Saturdays before. We just closed at one time, and I don't know.
Can anybody run the scale house, or does it have to be?
It doesn't have to be Karen. We got other people that can run. If Karen can't do it or doesn't want to do it, we'll have other people.
Okay, so other people could be available.
Yes.
So are you going to just check?
I'll work with.
What David. I'd like to do is for you to find out so that we can notify the newspaper this morning if you find out somebody's going to, so we can say that the newspaper's going to be open.
I just know.
Well, that's just if you guys want it open, we'll be open. I mean, that's up to you guys.
Right. I just know some of the haulers, they've been calling me, and, hey, we don't have where to put trash because they're going to start working Friday again.
Uh-huh.
They can't deliver till Monday.
Right.
And they don't have anywhere to put it, and they won't have empty trucks. So then the citizens won't be having their trash picked up.
Right.
Because, it could.
Snowball.
Yeah.
It makes for a very busy Monday, mm-hmm. I know that, if they have to hold a bunch.
If they have to hold a bunch, right.
And then at
Do you want to talk about the budget part of it?
I just wanted to tell you that the FLSA will say there's no overtime unless they actually physically work more than 40 hours. So it shouldn't cause an overtime problem.
Unless they get the two holidays.
They'll get their holidays, so it'd just be hours
work. It'd just be regular, it'd be straight pay.
Yeah. Just to make sure that you didn't tell your employees are getting double pay whenever the personnel policy doesn't have time.
Basically, you guys, whether you want it open or not, I mean, we're going to run into the same thing. But we
what
did bring
saying?
This up to you before, you know, and we did ask about the Saturday because we got two holidays that fall on a Friday.
Won't you, what he's asking is for you to go talk to the help.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we have people, and if I need to go there Saturday morning and run scale house or something, I don't care.
Yeah.
No, we can have people. I'll call and find out for sure that we have people willing.
You don't want me packing trash.
I was just saying, we don't want you.
But anyway, that's what we want, and if you'll check and give it to them in time for them to say open or closed.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. I think that's where we're at. If we got help there, we're going to
find out in a few minutes.
Find out today, and then
okay.
We'll open it. Is that?
Right. Yep. That's where I'm at on it.
No. But I can see where it would cause a problem to be closed.
Yeah.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you.
You still on vacation?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Here a little bit.
Thanks for coming in on your vacation day.
Got budget discussions. I think I had it put on there to, are we going to decide when we should get together and discuss the budget.
Oh, you mean to...
Like a work session? Yeah, when we're going to...
If Rick... What you're asking is, are we ready to schedule people in? Are we ready to just look at the budget as a whole? Because I guess that's what you're asking.
Yes, yes.
For are we going to schedule the other elected officials to come in, the department heads to come in? And you're wanting to know if when we're going to get that started.
Yes.
I think we probably ought to start working on it at least it'd be the, what's next week, first week of December?
Yep.
And we'll just set up
next week is the 30th.
Starts the 30th.
Mm-hmm. So Tuesday is the 1st.
Well, why don't we look at maybe starting the 30th? Do you have a schedule? I haven't even looked to see what, and the girls haven't told me what her schedule is, so maybe the 30th, that's the Monday afternoon.
Start that afternoon?
Start at noon or start that afternoon?
Probably start around 1:30 or 2 after lunch.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I guess at that time we can kind of see where we're at and set the week's schedule.
Yeah. Yeah.
What we normally do Monday through Thursday or Friday till noon, or I can't remember what we normally do.
Well, we're getting an early enough start on it that I think we can do partial days if we need a day in there that we have other agendized items. I think we already have some. The reason I said we need to look at the schedule is because I think we have an airport board meeting that we're requested to be at on Tuesday. I think there might be other things that fall in that we need to look at. So
it's December the 8th.
December the 8th is the...
Yeah.
Okay. So those dates that we have...
Tomorrow's...
Designated meetings, where we can't...
The airport board.
Be trying to... We got plenty of time, don't we, Rick? I mean...
Okay. I don't know what you guys want to do. I would suggest that you kind of set yourself a schedule. You do need to visit with the sheriff, because the sheriff wanted the money that I didn't put in his budget. You need to visit with Mark Riss, the IT department, because the same thing happened there. Everyone else is okay with what's in their budget, but that doesn't mean that you're okay with it. You need to look at it. There's some of them that you want to reduce, and you need to call those people in. If not, they're going to be happy with what you have. Should be. Barring the salaries. The salaries is the real issue, the hard issue.
So the way I'm understanding we're talking now, next November, next Monday,
we'll start at 2 o'clock.
We'll start at
2 o'clock? Or 1:30, or I don't know.
Yeah. I put 1:30.
Okay. Yeah. She said...
Caneyville ain't open on Monday, so we can't go over there. So
yeah.
We'll be back by 1:30.
Yeah. 1 or 1:30. Anyway, we'll get started next Monday on the discussion. We might even set up the sheriff to come in and visit with us at that time.
We'll figure it out. We'll have agendized before that.
Okay. All right.
I have next on the agenda that we'd be meeting in executive session for Section 610.021, Subsection 3 and 12 in the Taney County Conference Room upstairs.
Move to go into executive session pursuant to 610.021, subsection 3.
Jan, don't run off. Jan, don't run off. I want to visit with you about something we talked about earlier. Go ahead.
He's made a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Brandon, aye.
Danny, aye.
Mike, aye. Motion carries. Mr. Barnes, you're here to visit with us. We're going to go upstairs and...